الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنحمد الله تبارك وتعالى على ما من به علينا في هذا اللقاء.
The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanked them for this blessing of holding this meeting with you all.
أخوكم وزائركم من الكويت سالم بن سعد الطويل.
Your brother, the one visiting you from Kuwait, my name is Salim bin Sa'd al-Tawil.
وهذه الزيارة نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلها زيارة مباركة.
And this visit we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a blessed visit.
وأن يجعلها خالصة لوجه الكريم.
And to make it sincerely seeking His noble face.
وأن ينفعنا بما نقول وما نسمع.
And to benefit us through what we hear and what we say.
وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا على طاعته.
And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us all together upon His obedience.
وأن يكتب لنا الأجر والثواب وأن يكفر عن سيئاتنا.
And to write down for us our good deeds and to expiate us of our shortcomings.
ونحن في يوم 20 جمادة الآخرة لعام 29/400 الموافق 24 من الشهر الثالث لعام 2000.
And today's date, it is the 20th of Jumada al-Akhirah in the year 4029, coinciding with June 24th in the year 2008.
Today is Tuesday.
And the choice has been made to read from the book of Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala.
وهي مناسبة جدا لعامة المسلمين.
And this is appropriate for all the Muslims in entirety.
وظاهر ذلك من اسمها فقال الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة.
And this is something that is apparent from the title, since the title of this book is Essential Lessons for Every Muslim.
والشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز يعني هو من أئمة أهل السنة في زمانه.
And Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz is from the Imams of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in our time.
وقد اشتهر عنه وعلم عنه بما لا يبقى للشك مجال أنه رجل هدى واستقامة.
And it is well known, and it's something famous that is known about the Sheikh, that he is from those who are upright and upon the correct way.
تمسك بالكتاب والسنة ودعا إليهما.
He strongly adhered to the book in the Sunnah, and he called to them both.
وكان على منهج السلف ويدعو إلى ذلك.
And he was upon the methodology of the Salaf, and he called to them.
فهو بعيد كل البعد عن البدع وعن الأهواء.
So he was far away from all angles, from innovations and desires.
فنأخذ من آثاره ونحن مطمئنين.
So we can take from him and have total tranquility in our taking from him.
وهذا من توفيق الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا أن نهتدي إلى كتب أهل السنة الخالية من البدع والخرافات.
And this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can take from the books of Ahlul Sunnah that are free from innovations and folklore.
لأن من المعلوم أن الإسلام دخل عليه شيء كثير مما ليس منه.
Since it is something that is well known that there are many things that have entered into Islam that are not from it.
لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر بأن لا تزال طائفة من هذه الأمة ظاهرين متمسكين بما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه.
However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to us that there will always be a group that strongly adhere to the truth and remain steadfast upon it and are apparent upon them.
ومن هؤلاء نحسبه الشيخ العلامة عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى.
And we consider Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz رحمه الله تعالى to be from amongst them.
يقول في البداية الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين صلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. حمد الله عز وجل وقال أن العاقبة للمتقين، النهاية ستكون الفوز للمتقين في الدنيا والآخرة.
نعم. So the Shaykh began his treatise saying, "All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all existence, والعاقبة للمتقين," and that the end, the final outcome, the result will be for the متقين, those who have taqwa. And salutations and blessings upon his servant, his messenger, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who follow him, his family, and his companions in entirety.
وبدأ رسالته بالحمد لله رب العالمين اقتداء بالقرآن. الذي بدأه الله عز وجل بقوله الحمد لله رب العالمين في سورة الفاتحة.
And he began his treatise with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since Allah azza wa jalla begins Surah Al-Fatiha with this saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Wa salla wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah alladhi ikhtarahu Allah wa astafa.
And he sent salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the messenger of Allah who he has chosen.
Wa salatullahi ala nabiyyi Muhammad thana'uhu alayhi fil malal a'la.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending salat or salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his praising of him in the highest of ranks.
قَالَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَهُمْ قَرَابَتُهُ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ.
And he said, upon his alihi, and his alihi is his relative sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَهُمْ كُلُّ مَنْ لَقِيَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ وَمَاتَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ.
And his companions, and the companions are anyone who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believed in him and died upon that.
ثم قال أما بعد فهذه كلمات موجزة في بيان بعض ما يجب أن يعرفه العامة. كلمات موجزة يعني كلمات مختصرة, فهي رسالة صغيرة لكن مهمة.
He goes on to say to proceed. So he says these are some summarized words clarifying to us some of what is incumbent, binding upon the masses to have knowledge of. And he said that it is mojiza, that it is summarized because this is a small treatise, but it encompasses many affairs that are relative to the Muslims.
قال في بيان بعض ما يجب أن يعرفه العامة عن دين الإسلام. في بيان بعض ما يجب, وهذا سؤال يكثر عند كثير من الناس. بماذا أبدأ حتى أتعلم العلم الشرعي؟
Now, so here he goes on to say, this treatise is explaining some of what the general Muslims have knowledge of in their religion. And he went on to say that this is something that many of the people ask. They ask, what should I begin with in learning their religion? And this treatise here explains that to us.
فالشيخ عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله كلف نفسه ووضع هذه الرسالة في بيان ما يجب على كل مسلم بعينه أن يتعلمه.
So Shaykh Abdul Aziz Mubaz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he took the responsibility upon himself to explain to the Muslims exactly what is obligatory upon them.
أن يعرفوا عام العامة. العامة هم يعني أكثر الناس من غير العلماء يقال عنهم عامة.
And to what the عامة should know, what the general masses should know. And what's meant by this word عامة are those people that are not amongst people of knowledge. Anyone who is not amongst the scholars, people of knowledge, they are considered the عامة, the general populace.
قال وسميتها الدروس المهمة. الدروس المهمة.
And I have entitled it الدروس المهمة, essential lessons.
لعامة الأمة.
For the general populace of the Muslims, the Ummah.
ثم دعا بدعاء طيب فقال وأسأل الله أن ينفع بها المسلمين وأن يتقبلها مني إنه جواد كريم.
And then he went on to make a dua asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit the Muslims by it and for it to be accepted for him, for surely Allah is جواد كريم.
عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى وجزاه الله عنا خيرا.
نعم, he is عبد العزيز بن عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى, may Allah reward him with good and excellence.
الدرس الأول سورة الفاتحة وقصار السور.
And the first lesson here is regarding Surah Al-Fatiha, the chapter of the Quran entitled Fatiha, and it is from those shorter chapters.
Surah Al-Fatiha لا يسع المسلم أن يجهلها, لا بد أن يحفظها وأن يتقنها. لأنها ركن من أركان الصلاة, لا بد لكل مسلم أن يقرأها في كل ركعة.
And every Muslim must have knowledge of Surah Al-Fatiha, must know it, know how to recite it properly, since Surah Al-Fatiha, it is one of the pillars of the Salat itself.
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stated that there is no salat, there is no prayer for the one who doesn't recite the opening of the book, Surah Al-Fatiha.
ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام من لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب فصلاته خداج, أي غير كاملة, غير تامة.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, has mentioned whoever doesn't recite the Surah Al-Fatiha, then his prayer is not complete, it's deficient.
وهي أفضل سورة في القرآن على الإطلاق.
And it is the most virtuous of all the chapters in the Quran in the absolute sense.
يقول الله عز وجل ولقد آتيناك سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم. سبعا من المثاني أي سبع آيات, مثاني لأنها تتكرر تسنى في الصلوات. فقال سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned we have given you the seven oft repeated verses and the Quran al-Azim, the magnificent Quran. And it's called the seven oft repeated verses because it's just that. They're repeated over and over again. For this reason, it's called the seven oft repeated verses.
وهي من القرآن لكن خص الله ذكرها لأهميتها. فقال سبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم.
And these seven oft-repeated verses, Surah Al-Fatiha, it is from the Qur'an, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified its mention due to its great importance. So here he is specified by saying the seven oft-repeated verses and the Qur'an al-Azim, the magnificent Qur'an.
فذكرها وحدها لزيادة الأهمية بها كما قال الله عز وجل حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. معنى الصلاة الوسطى هي إحدى الصلوات وهي صلاة العصر، ولكن خصها بالذكر لأهميتها فقال حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. وهنا قال ولقد آتيناك سبع من المثاني والقرآن العظيم، مع أن هي جزء من القرآن العظيم.
And here you say we have given you the seven oft-repeated verses. In this verse here, it is emphasizing the importance of it, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated elsewhere in his book, وَحَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. And preserve your middle prayers, and preserve your prayers, and preserve the middle prayer. And the middle prayer here, it is emphasized, it's one of the prayers, but it's emphasized here to show its importance, and the prayer that's meant here, as the Shaykh mentioned, is Salatul Asr. So just as the middle prayer is being singled out here to show its importance, likewise in the previous verse, the seven oft-repeated verses is also specified here to show us the importance of it.
وَالَّذِي يَنْبَغِي الْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يُتْقِنَ قِرَاءَتَهَا.
And it is appropriate for the Muslim to recite it well, perfect his recitation of it.
فَلَا يَقْرَأُهَا بِاللَّهْجَ الْعَامِّيَّةِ.
So he doesn't recite it with a slang type of an accent, if you will.
وَلَا يَقْرَأُهَا بِيَعْنِي لَهْجَةٍ أَعْجَمِيَّةٍ.
And he doesn't recite with a non-Arab accent either.
وَلَا يَلْحَنْ بِقِرَاءَتِهَا فَيُخْطَأْ فِي ضَبْطِ الْحُرُوفِ.
Nor is he negligent in his reciting of it, so that he errs in reciting some of the letters properly.
وَهِيَ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ يَسِيرَةٌ وَيَنْبَغِي تَلْقِينَهَا الْأَطْفَالُ وَالْإِخْوَانُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُحْسِنُونَهَا حَتَّى يُحْسِنُوهَا.
And it is appropriate to teach children this well and teach adults this well so that they can recite it properly.
ولزيادة الأجر والثواب تدبر معانيها وما دلت عليه.
And to increase any reward, for additional reward, a person can contemplate upon its meanings and the explanation of it.
فقد بدأ الله عز وجل بقوله الحمد لله رب العالمين. والحمد معناه الكمال المطلق كله يستحقه الله عز وجل.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the verse with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praises belong to Allah, Lord of all in existence. Alhamd here, the praise here, this means that all attributes of perfection and completeness belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
كيف عرفنا أن كل الحمد لأنه قال الحمد والألف واللام في لغة العرب معناها للاستغراق، يعني كل الحمد كل صفات الكمال والجلال والجمال يستحقها الله عز وجل لأنه قال لله واللام فيه لله للاستحقاق، صار الحمد كل الحمد لله يستحقه الله، فكل صفات الكمال والجلال والجمال كلها يستحقها الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So how do we know here that all attributes of perfection belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here? It is by him placing the Aleph al-Lam before the word Hamd. By him placing the Aleph al-Lam, the L before the word Hamd, praise, this is the istighraq. This encompasses all praise in entirety, all attributes of perfection. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Lillah, this letter lamb here, shows us that all these attributes of perfection belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none other than him.
وَبِهَذَا اسْتَحَقَّ أَنْ يُعْبَدْ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فَكُلُّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمَعْبُودَاتِ فَهِيَ مَعْبُودَاتٌ بَاطِنَةٌ لأن ليس لها صفات الكمال ولا الجلال. أما الله عز وجل فلأنه متصف بصفات الكمال والجلال لأن الحمد يستحقه الله عز وجل إذا ناسب أن يكون هو الإله الحق المعبود بحق.
So Allah عز وجل here, all these attributes of perfection, they belong to him alone by himself, and he is the one who we should worship alone by himself because of that. So he is the only one that has this, and anyone other than him does not deserve any aspect of worship at all, since they do not hold these qualities of perfection and nobility as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So once over again, all attributes of perfection and nobility belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself, and for that reason we worship him alone by himself, and then no one else has right over this.
ولما قال الحمد لله فالله اسمه جل وعلا فما معنى الله.
And here when Allah says all praise belong to لله, belong to Allah, here he is saying his name Allah. So what does Allah mean?
من يعرف ما معنى الله.
Who here knows what Allah means?
قد تكون أخي لم تسأل نفسك يوم من الأيام ما معنى الله.
Now, somebody may ask you one day, what does Allah mean?
واليوم فرصتك أن تتعلم وتتذكر في هذا اليوم عرفت ما معنى الله.
نعم.
واليوم
نعم.
تتذكر هذا اليوم أنك قد عرفت فيه معنى اسم الله.
نعم. So you may ask yourself one day, what does Allah mean? So today on this day, you're going to learn. You can say to yourself that I understand and know what Allah means.
فمن يتبرع منكم ويختبر معلوماته فيبين لنا ما معنى الله.
So which one of us here is ready to inform us of what Allah means?
المزمل. نعم. الله معناه المعبود.
نعم. Allah means المعبود, one who is worshipped.
فالله أصلها الإله.
So the origin of the word Allah is the word الإله, the deity.
ثم حذفت الهمزة تخفيفا.
Then the Hamza was omitted to make it easier to pronounce.
أيهما أخف أن تقول الإله أم تقول الله.
Which one is easier to say, الإله or Allah?
لا شك أن الله أخف.
There's no doubt that saying Allah is easier, lighter upon the tongue.
فحذفت الهمزة لكثرة استعمال اسم الله. حذفت الهمزة لأنه يستعمل كثيرا فصار الله.
So the Hamza, he was omitted since his word was used a lot and it became Allah to make it easier to pronounce.
وأما أصلها قبل تخفيف الهمزة الإله.
As for the origin of it before the letter Hamza was omitted, it was الإله, the deity.
ومعنى الإله المعبود.
And the meaning of الإله, the deity, is المعبود, the one who is worshipped.
والله عز وجل هو الإله الحق.
And Allah عز وجل, He is the deity in truth.
وكل ما سواه إله باطل.
And everything besides Allah is a false deity.
كما قال الله عز وجل ذلك بأن الله هو الحق.
As Allah عز وجل has stated, that is because Allah is the haq, He is the reality, the truth.
وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل.
And anything that is called upon, worship besides Him, is false.
وأن الله هو العلي الكبير.
And certainly Allah is العلي, the most high, الكبير.
إذن الله عز وجل هو المعبود بحق.
Therefore Allah عز وجل, He is the one who is worshipped in truth.
ومعبود بالحق حبا وتذللا وخوفا ورجاء.
The one who is worshipped in truth, having love for Him, yielding, submitting to Him, fearing Him, and having hope in Him.
فلا يكون معبودا إلا إذا أحببناه وتذللنا له وخفناه ورجونا.
So something is not a thing that is worshipped unless we have love for it, we yield and submit to it, we have fear of it and hope in it.
فمن أحب مخلوقا ولم يتذلل له ولم يخف منه ولم يرجوه ليس بعابدا له.
So whoever loves something from the creation, however, he doesn't yield to it, he doesn't have fear of it, he doesn't have hope in it, then he's not a worshipper of it.
فقد يحب الإنسان زوجته أو ابنه أو أباه أو أمه لكن ليس بخاضع له فليس بعابد الله.
And a person, he may love his wife, he may love his children, he may love his father, his grandparents, and his mother. However, he doesn't yield to them. So therefore, he is not a worshipper of them.
وقد يخضع مخلوق للمخلوق بسبب ظلمه وجبروته لكن لا يحبه بقلبه فهو ليس بعابد الله.
And something from the creation may yield and submit to the creation due to it being oppressive towards it and having power and authority over it. However, the person doesn't love this oppression that is done to it. Therefore, it is not worshipping.
أما إذا جمع بين الحب غاية الحب مع غاية التذلل والخضوع فهذه عبادة الله.
But once a person joins together with the utmost of love along with the utmost of yielding and submitting, then that person is worshipping that thing.
ومن عبد الله عز وجل خاف من الله تبارك وتعالى ورجى الله عز وجل.
And whoever worships Allah عز وجل, he has love for Him and he also has fear of Him.
إذن الله هو المألوه المعبود بحق.
Therefore Allah, He is the one who everyone takes as a deity and He is the one who is worshipped in truth.
الذي يعبد. الذي يعبد.
He is the one who is worshipped.
الذي يعبد. غاية الحب مع غاية الخضوع مع غاية الخوف والرجاء.
He is the one who is worshipped with the utmost of love, the utmost of yielding and submitting, the utmost of hope and the utmost of fear.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. رب أي الخالق المالك المدبر.
All praise is due, belongs to Allah. All praise is due, belongs to Allah, the Rabb, the Lord, meaning the Creator, the Owner, the King, the Disposer of all the affairs of the universe.
والعالمين كل ما سوى الله فهو من العالمين.
And the عالمين, everything that exists besides Allah, then it is the عالمين, all in existence.
الله عز وجل رب كل شيء سواه.
So Allah عز وجل, He is the Rabb, He is the Lord of everything else besides Him that exists.
رب العرش الكريم.
He is the Lord of the noble throne.
رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما.
He is the Lord of the heavens and earth and all that is in between them.
ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين.
He is your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers.
رب كل شيء سبحانه وتعالى.
He is the Lord of everything سبحانه وتعالى.
الآن نريد أن نعيد التدبر بهذه الآية الأولى من سورة الفاتحة.
So now we want to come back and contemplate once again this first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all in existence.
الحمد للاستغراق كل الحمد كل صفات الكمال والجلال والعظمة والكبرياء لله يستحقها الله
الحمد this praise here all praise it means all praise in entirety all attributes of nobility of perfection of extolling in magnificence all of these belong to Allah عز وجل
يستحقها الله الله هو الإله المعبود بحق
Allah is the one who deserves this, and Allah is the one who is worshipped in truth.
المستحق لغاية الحب مع غاية الذل مع غاية الخوف والرجاء.
He is the one who deserves, alone by himself, the utmost of love, the utmost of yielding and submitting, the utmost of love, the utmost of hope, the utmost of fear.
وهو رب العالمين أي خالق كل شيء ومالك لكل شيء ومدبر لكل شيء.
And He is the Lord of all in existence. Meaning He is the creator of all things, He is the king, owner of all things, He is one that disposes all the affairs of the universe.
والعالمين كل ما سوى الله. فالله عز وجل رب كل شيء سبحانه وتعالى.
And the عالمين is everything that exists besides Allah, so Allah عز وجل is the Rabb, the Lord of everything in existence in eternity.
ثم قال جل وعلا الرحمن الرحيم. اسمان جليلان لله عز وجل دلان على صفة الرحمة.
And then he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the beneficent, the bestower of mercy. And these two noble names of Allah are an indication of His rahma, of His mercy.
والله عز وجل اسمه الرحمن واسمه الرحيم.
And Allah عز وجل, His name is Ar-Rahman and His name is Ar-Rahim.
وذو رحمة كما قال الله عز وجل وربك الغني ذو الرحمة وقال وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة. أي صاحب الرحمة.
And your Lord, He is one who possesses mercy. And your Lord is الآية الأولى.
ربك الغني ذو الرحمة وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة.
And your Lord is غني. He is one that is not in need of anything. And He is one who possesses mercy. And then He mentioned another verse again where Allah is mentioning that He as well possesses mercy.
ومن صفاته الفعلية أنه يرحم.
And it is from the attributes in His actions that He bestows His mercy.
إذن الله عز وجل من أسمائه الرحمن الرحيم.
So from the names of Allah عز وجل are His two names, Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, Ar-Rahim, the Most Merciful.
ومن صفاته أنه ذو رحمة.
And from his attributes is that He possesses rahmah, mercy.
ومن أفعاله أنه يرحم.
And from His actions is that He bestows His mercy.
رحمن رحيم ذو رحمة ويرحم.
He is Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, Ar-Rahim, the Most Merciful. He has this attribute of mercy, possesses it, and He also bestows His mercy.
وهذه من أكثر الصفات التي وصف الله عز وجل بها نفسه في كتابه صفة الرحمة.
And this is the attribute that He utilizes the most in His book to describe Himself, that He possesses mercy.
فرحمة الله عز وجل واسعة. وسعت كل شيء.
So the mercy of Allah عز وجل is expansive. It encompasses everything.
وكتب الله على نفسه الرحمة. كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة.
And your Lord has prescribed mercy upon Himself. Again, your Lord has prescribed mercy upon Himself.
ورحمة الله سبقت غضبه.
And the mercy of Allah takes precedence over His anger.
ولرحمة الله عز وجل آثار كثيرة لا يمكن أن نحيط بها.
And the effects or those things that are affected by Allah's mercy are there are a plethora and they cannot be counted and encompassed.
لكن نعرف بعضا منها.
But we know some of them.
فمن رحمته أنه خلقنا.
And we know that it's from His mercy that He created us, brought us into existence.
وَأَنَّهُ رَزَقَنَا جَعَلَنَا سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً
And He has provided for us. He has given us hearing, insight, and understanding.
وَآتَانَا مِنَ النِّعَمِ مَا لَا يُعَدُّ وَلَا يُحْصَى وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ
And He has given us from blessings that which we can't even enumerate.
وَلَمَّا خَلَقَنَا لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا
And when He created us, He didn't just leave us like that, abandon us.
بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا
Rather, He sent a messenger to us,
رَحْمَةً مِّنْهُ
as a mercy from Himself.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ
And we didn't send you except as a mercy for all in existence.
وَأَنْزَلَ مَعَهُ كِتَابًا رَحْمَةً مِّنْهُ
And He descended a book along with Him as a mercy from Him.
وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْنَا الْإِيمَانَ
And He made Iman beloved to us. And He made shirk and kufr and disobedience things that are hateful to us. So He made Iman beloved to us and He beautified it for us in our hearts. And He made detestable for us kufr, disobedience and sinning.
وهدانا إلى الصراط المستقيم.
And He guided us to the صراط المستقيم, the straight path.
ونسأل الله أن يثبتنا على ذلك.
And we ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to make us firm upon that.
وخلق جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض برحمته.
وخلق
جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض برحمته.
And He created the Jannah, He created the paradise, the heavens and earth as a mercy for us.
يقول الله عز وجل الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله أي في جنة الله. يبضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون
يبضت
يبضت أسود أبيض وجه
أي طيب
فأما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله أي في جنة الله هم فيها خالدون
نعم so those people who their faces are bright illuminated if you will they will be entering into the Jannah to the paradise
وقال الله في الحديث القدسي للجنة أنت رحمتي أرحم بك من أشاء
And Allah Azza wa Jalla stated in the Hadith Qudsi that you are my mercy and I bestow upon it whoever I will.
وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ يَتُوبُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابُ
And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts the repentance of whoever repents.
وَيَفْرَحْ بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ
And He becomes gleeful, joyous with the repentance of His servant.
وَيُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ
He loves those who repent.
وَيُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ
And He will change their bad deeds into good deeds.
وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ يَسْتَرُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ
وَمِنْ
يَسْتَرُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ
نعم, and from His mercy, He conceals the faults of the servants.
وَيَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا
And He forgives all sins.
وفي الحديث القدسي قال الله عز وجل يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار
And in the hadith القدسي He states Oh my servants, certainly you all commit sins by night and day.
الله يعلم أحوالنا ويعلم ما نفعل وما نرى وما نسمع وما نتكلم به فيقول إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار
Allah عز وجل He knows what we conceal, He knows our affairs, He knows what we see and what we do. So therefore He is stating here that He, Oh my servants, you all commit sins by the night and the day.
وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم
and I forgive all sins so seek my forgiveness and I shall forgive you
ومظاهر رحمة الله عز وجل لا يمكن حصرها لا يمكن حصرها
and this mercy of Allah عز وجل is so expansive that it cannot be contained
وما الفرق بين الرحمن والرحيم
and what is the difference between his name Ar-Rahman the beneficent and his name Ar-Rahim the most merciful
عند اقتران الاسمين الرحمن والرحيم اقترانهما في جملة واحدة يكون لكل منهما معنى
Now, so when these two names are used together in one sentence, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, then each one has a different meaning.
فالرحمن على وزن فعلان يدل على الامتلاء.
So the name Ar-Rahman that's on the form, the pattern of فعلان, this is an indication of being filled, if you will.
العرب يطلقون على الكلمة على وزن فعلان تدل على الشيء الممتلئ. يقال عطشان. يقال شبعان. قال ريان يعني أنه ممتلئ تعبان يعني ممتلئ تعب
نعم and Allah and in the language of the Arab this form this pattern فعلان it is utilized to show that something is filled up so then he gave some examples of some words like this in the Arabic language and he gave the example of عطشان when a person is thirsty to show that he is filled up with this thirst and he gave the example of تعبان when a person is filled up with tiredness and he gave some other examples along this line
والله عز وجل اسمه الرحمن أي ذو الرحمة الواسعة
and Allah عز وجل he is الرحمن the beneficent meaning his mercy is expansive
واسمه الرحيم أي ذو الرحمة الواصلة
and his name الرحيم the most merciful this is the mercy that reaches others
الحمد لله
يحمد الله
عندك الله سبحانه
قال جل وعلا وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما and Allah عز وجل says that and He is merciful with the believers
أيوصل رحمته للمؤمنين
meaning that His mercy reaches the believers the مؤمنين
إذن الرحمن يعني ذو الرحمة الواسعة
so therefore His name الرحمن the beneficent means the His extensive mercy
والرحيم ذو الرحمة الواصلة التي يوصلها لعباده المؤمنين
and الرحيم the most merciful this means that he possesses the mercy that reaches the مؤمنين that reaches his servants the believers
ثم قال مالك يوم الدين أي أن الله يملك يوم الدين يعني يوم القيامة
and then he says مالك يوم الدين the owner of the day of deen meaning that he is the one who owns, possesses, has sovereignty over يوم الدين and the day of deen is يوم القيامة the day of resurrection
ويوم الدين ثم يوم الدين لأن الناس يدانون بأعمالهم يعني يجازون على أعمالهم فهو يوم الجزاء
and it is called the day of deen because this is the day that everyone will be taken to account and be recompensed for their actions
والله تبارك تعالى يملك الدنيا والآخرة
and Allah عز وجل He has sovereignty He owns the this world and hereafter
ولكن في الدنيا هناك من يملك ملكا مؤقتا صوريا
and in the life of this world it's possible that a person can own something to some limited degree
فيقال فلان مالك السيارة
so
فلان
said,
مالك العقار لكن يوم القيامة ما في أحد حتى ملكا صوريا لا يملك فيقال الله عز وجل يوم القيامة هو الذي يملك كل شيء
So it's possible in this life that a person can own something. And he gave the example that a person can own a car, or he gave an example that a person can own something else. In the life of this world, people can own things, but on the day of resurrection, that ownership will be solely for Allah عز وجل by himself and no other.
ينادي الله عز يوم القيامة لمن الملك اليوم فلا يجيب أحد لمن الملك اليوم فلا يجيب أحد لمن الملك اليوم فلا يجيب أحد فيجيب نفسه ويقول لله الواحد القهار
And Allah Azza wa Jalla on that day, He will call out saying, Who has ownership, sovereignty of the dominion today? Who has ownership and sovereignty of the dominion today? A third time, who has owner and who is the owner and has sovereignty over the dominion today? And no one will be able to answer. And then He will answer Himself and say that He is the one that has it. Him alone by Himself, Al-Qahhar, the irresistible.
يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا.
This is the day.
والأمر يومئذ لله.
This is the day that no soul will have any sovereignty over another, and on that day the affair will be totally for Allah.
وهذه الآية لها قراءتان. ملك يوم الدين ومالك يوم الدين.
And this verse of Surah Al-Fatiha has two recitations. You can say مالك يوم الدين or مالك يوم الدين.
والله عز وجل ملك ومالك.
So Allah عز وجل He is a مالك and a ملك.
والله تبارك وتعالى ملك أي يحكم كل شيء.
And Allah عز وجل He is a Malik, meaning that He rules over everything.
ومالك أي يملك كل شيء.
And He is a Malik, meaning He owns everything.
انظر إلى أحوال الناس في الدنيا.
Look at the affairs, the state of the people in the life of this world.
فقد يكون فلان من الناس ملك.
So it's possible that a person could be a king from amongst the people.
ملك على المملكة الفلانية.
So he may be a king over over a kingdom.
لكنه لا يملكها.
But he doesn't actually own it in itself.
لا يملك البشر الذين فيها.
He doesn't own the people that are in it.
ولا يملك نساءها.
And he doesn't own the women therein.
ولا يملك عقارها.
He doesn't own the عقار يعني. The property therein.
وإنما الناس في هذه المملكة كل منهم يملك شيئا.
And even the people that are inside of this kingdom, each one of them can own something.
فهو وإن كان ملك على هذه المملكة يحكمها لكنه لا يملكها.
So even if he is a king over this kingdom and over his people, he doesn't actually own it in itself.
وتجد الناس أفراد المملكة يملكون لكنهم ليسوا بملوك.
And you find the people that are inside of the kingdom themselves, they can own things themselves, but they themselves are not kings.
فهذا يملك بيتا وهذا يملك سيارة وهذا يملك عقارا لكنهم ليسوا بملوك. هم يملكون لكن ليسوا بملوك.
So a person he can own some property, he can own a house, he can own a car, he can own things, but that doesn't make him a king.
والملوك يحكمون لكن لا يملكون المملكة.
And the kings they rule, but they don't own everything in the kingdom itself.
أما الله عز وجل.
As for Allah عز وجل
فهو ملك ومالك.
Then he is a ملك and a مالك.
يحكم بكل شيء.
He rules over everything.
ويملك كل شيء.
And he owns everything.
قل اللهم مالك الملك.
And to
قل اللهم يا الله مالك الملك تملك كل الملك.
So say, O Allah, He is the Malik of the Mulk. He is the King over all sovereignty, over all the dominion.
قل اللهم مالك الملك الله عز يملك كل شيء.
So Allah say, O Allah, say, O Allah, He is the Malik, the King of all dominion, meaning He owns everything.
ويتصرف بكل شيء.
And He disperses, He disposes of it however He wills.
قال جل وعلا له الخلق والأمر. الخلق خلقه. والأمر هو الذي يأمر به سبحانه وتعالى.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, does not belong to Him the creation and the commandment. And the commandment here is everything that He owns.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. أي نعبدك وحدك ونستعين بك وحدك.
You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid. Meaning, you alone by yourself. You are the one that we worship and you alone by yourself. You are the one that we seek aid in.
لم يقل الله عز وجل نعبدك وإنما قال إياك نعبد. فقدم المفعول به حتى يفيد الحصر أي نعبدك وحدك فما قال نعبدك وإنما قال إياك نعبد حتى يفيد أنه معبود وحده أي نعبده وحده سبحانه وتعالى.
So Allah عز وجل, He didn't say نعبدك إياك. He didn't just say you, we worship you, we just leave it like that. But the one who the action is being done to, or the maf'ul here, is put in front. It precedes the verb and the fa'al here. And when that is done in Arabic language, when you put the one that's action is being done to in front of the action itself, the benefit is that it to feed al-hasr, meaning that it constricts it, it restricts it to that thing alone by itself.
وَنَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَزْ وَحْدَهُ لِأَنَّهُ الْإِلَهُ الْحَقِّ.
And we worship Allah alone by Himself because He is the deity in truth.
فَنُحِبُّهُ غَايَةَ الْحُبِّ.
So we love Him with the utmost of love.
وَنَخْضَعْ لَهُ وَنَتَذَلَّلْ لَهُ غَايَةَ الْخُضُوعِ وَالتَذَلُّلِ.
And we submit and we yield to Him with the utmost of yielding and submission.
مع غاية الخوف وغاية الرجاء.
While along with that we have the utmost of hope and the utmost of fear.
ونستعين بالله أي نطلب العون من الله.
And we seek aid in Allah, meaning that again that Allah is one that we seek aid in.
والاستعانة نوع من أنواع العبادة.
And استعانة, seeking aid, is a type of worship.
وإنما ذكرها الله وحدها لما ذكر العبادة قال إياك نعبد, مع أن الاستعانة نوع من أنواع العبادة ذكرها وحدها لأهميتها.
And Allah عز وجل, He mentioned this استعانة, the seeking aid alone by itself, even though it is a part of worship, He mentions it alone by Himself in order to show us the importance of it.
لأنه لا يمكن لأحد أن يعبد الله إلا بعون من الله.
Since it is not possible for anyone to worship Allah except Allah aids him in that worship that he's performing.
إذا ما أعانك الله على عبادته ما تستطيع أن تعبد الله.
Therefore, if Allah doesn't aid you, assist you in that worship, you can't perform the act of worship.
هناك من هو أقوى منا جسما ولا يعبد الله.
Since there are those who are stronger than us in their bodies, yet they don't worship Allah عز وجل.
هناك من هو أرجح منا عقلا وأكثر منا ذكاء ولا يعبد الله.
And there are those who are smarter than us, more intelligent than us, but they don't utilize intellect properly to worship Allah.
وهناك من هو أكثر منا فراغا متفرغ ومع ذلك لا يعبد الله.
And there are those amongst us who have more free time than we do, but they don't utilize the time to worship Allah.
لماذا؟
Why?
لأن الإنسان لا يمكن أن يعبد الله إلا إذا أعانه الله على ذلك.
That is because it is not possible for a person to worship Allah if Allah aids him in performing the worship of Him.
فنحن بحاجة ماسة أن نطلب العون من الله.
So we are in a great dire need of Allah aiding us so that we can worship Him.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذ بن جبل يا معاذ إني والله أحبك في الله.
And he said to معاذ بن جبل, Oh معاذ, I love you for the pleasure of Allah.
فلا تدع لا تترك أن تقول دبر كل صلاة في آخر كل صلاة اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك.
So he said to him to say this dua. He said, say, Oh Allah, assist me in your remembrance, in being grateful to you, and in the perfection of worship.
فالواجب على المسلم دائما وابدا يدعو الله عز وجل بلسانه ويتعلق قلبه بالله عز وجل راجيا ان يعينه على عبادته.
So the servant has to constantly call upon Allah عز وجل with his tongue and having that connection in his heart that he has this hope in Allah عز وجل, hoping that Allah will assist him in his acts of worship.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم أي أرشدنا ووفقنا إلى الصراط المستقيم إلى الطريق المستقيم الذي لا عوجاج فيه.
And guide us to the straight path, meaning direct us to it and grant us success in it, so that we can be upon this straight path, and the straight path, it is the path that has no crookedness in it.
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يهده الله فلا مضل له.
And it is stated that whoever Allah guides, and there is no one who can misguide.
والله يقول يهدي من يشاء.
And Allah states that He guides whomever He wills.
فالهداية بيد الله عز وجل يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط المستقيم.
So guidance is in the hand of Allah. And guidance is in the hand of Allah عز وجل. He guides whomever He wills to the صراط المستقيم, the straight path.
فمن شاء الله هداه.
So whoever Allah wills, He'll be guided.
فالهداية بيد الله وحده.
So guidance is in the hand of Allah alone.
حتى نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يملك هذه الهداية.
Even the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself, he doesn't have control over this hidayah, this guidance.
حرص كل الحرص على عمه أبي طالب أن يقول لا إله الله فأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
So he tried with all his power to get Abu Talib to say لا إله إلا الله. He didn't even have the power to make him say لا إله إلا الله.
ما استطاع عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا يملك ذلك أن يسلك الهداية في قلب أحد. إنما ذلك لله عز وجل وحده.
So he didn't have the ability, nor did he have control over this hidayah, over the hearts of the people. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has control over guiding the hearts of the people.
فذلك ينبغي المسلم دائما وأبدا أن يتوجه إلى الله بالدعاء ويقول له اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
So due to this, it is always incumbent upon the Muslim to turn towards Allah and to supplicate Him, saying اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Has to be guided to the straight path.
حتى من كان غافلا عن سؤال الله الهداية.
To the point that the one who is negligent of asking Allah for guidance.
شرع لنا الله على لسان رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قراءة الفاتحة في كل سورة في كل ركعة.
نعم. Because some people may be negligent of this, it has been legislated for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to command us to recite it in every single unit of our prayer.
لندعوه ونسأله الهداية فنقول اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
To call upon him and to ask him for guidance, so we say اهدنا, guide us to the straight path, the صراط المستقيم.
وفي دعاء القنوت في صلاة الوتر اللهم اهدني فيمن هديت.
And the Salat al-Witr in your Qunut, you make the dua and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him, to make you amongst those who he is guided.
ومن الأدعية بين السجدتين.
And from those supplications that a person makes between the two prostrations.
رب اغفر لي وارحمني واجبرني وارفعني وعافني واهدني.
And he makes this dua.
Goodness, اهدني.
Now, this dua between the two supplications at the end of it, you ask Allah, اهديني to guide me.
فالمسلم يجب عليه دائما وأبدا أن يعلق قلبه بالله عز وجل سائلا الله ماذا الهداية.
So it is binding upon the Muslim at all times to have his heart connected to Allah عز وجل, asking him for his guidance.
يقول الله لنبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أكرم الخلق يقول له
الله عز وجل says to his Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and he is the most noble, honorable of all the creation.
إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء.
He says to him that you cannot guide whoever you want, whoever you love, but it is Allah who guides whomever He wills.
نعم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده نوع من الهداية لكن الهداية إدخال الهداية في قلوب الناس هداية التوفيق هذا لا يملكه إلا الله.
Yes, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he does have a type of guidance with him, but the type of guidance that is entered into the hearts of the people, the hidayah of tawfiq, the hidayah that there is success in it, this is controlled by Allah عز وجل himself.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يهدي الناس بمعنى يرشدهم ويعلمهم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to guide the people, meaning that he would direct them. He would direct them to that which is good.
كما قال الله عنه وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط المستقيم يعني تعلم وترشد الناس تقول هذا هو الطريق.
As Allah عز وجل stated, certainly you guide to the straight path, meaning you are the one who directs the people, shows them the right way to go.
أما أن تدخل هداية في قلوب الناس وتوفقهم لسلوك الصراط المستقيم فهذا ما لا يملكه إلا الله.
As for that guidance, that having the guidance that is in the hearts of the people and being granted success in that, no one has control over that except Allah عز وجل.
فتأملوا هذا جيدا.
So contemplate this well.
تارة يقول الله لنبيه وإنك لتهدي إلى الصراط المستقيم.
So in one place Allah who عز وجل says to his prophet, certainly you guide to the straight path.
وتارة يقول له إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء.
And in another verse he said, you cannot guide those whom you love, but it is Allah who guides whomever he wills.
فما أثبته الله لنبيه يختلف عما نفاه الله عن نبيه.
So what Allah has affirmed for His Prophet is different from what He has negated for Him.
لأن الهداية هدايتان.
Because guidance, hidayah is of two types.
هداية إرشاد ودلالة تقول هذا هو الطريق الفلاني.
So you have the hidayah where you're directing people towards a particular way, just showing them the way.
وهداية توفيق وثبات هذا ما لا يملكه إلا الله عز وجل.
And you have the hidayah of tawfiq and thabat, the guidance of success and conviction, and no one can grant this except Allah عز وجل.
فقوله جل وعلا عن نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وإنك لتهدي إلى الصراط المستقيم يعني تعلم الناس وترشدهم إلى الصراط المستقيم.
So Allah عز وجل saying about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that surely you guide to the straight path, meaning that you educate the people and you show the people what the right path is.
فأرشد عمه أبا طالب فقال له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله.
So he said to his uncle Abu Talib, directing him, showing, giving, granting him guidance. O Abu Talib, say La ilaha illallah, a word that you will have an evidence in your favor in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
لكنه أبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله لأن الله عز وجل ما أدخل الهداية في قلب أبي طالب.
But he refused to say La ilaha illallah because Allah did not place guidance in the heart of Abu Talib.
فنزل قول الله عز وجل في خطابه لنبيه إنك لا تهدي من أحببت أي من أحببت هدايته وهذا نزلت في أبي طالب إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء.
And then Allah عز وجل revealed the verse in this regard regarding Abu Talib refusing his guidance and he's speaking to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Surely you cannot guide those whom you love, meaning you Muhammad, you cannot guide Abu Talib, but rather it is Allah who guides.
فالمسلم يتوجه إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى سائلا الله الهداية لأنها بيد الله وحده.
So the Muslim, he turns toward Allah عز وجل asking him for guidance since he is the one that has control over guidance.
أي هداية اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. الصراط معناه الطريق.
In which guidance we're speaking right here, we're talking about being guidance to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. And in the Sirat, it is a path or a way.
والمستقيم الذي لا عوجاج فيه وإنما هو مستقيم.
And mustaqim, straight here, it means that which there is no crookedness in it.
وهذا الطريق هو الذي أمرنا الله عز وجل بسلوكه المستقيم.
And this path is the path that Allah has ordered with to follow this straight path.
فقال جل وعلا وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل.
And Allah عز وجل, He has stated that this is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow these other paths, other ways.
لما خلقنا الله عز وجل وأمرنا بعبادته.
So when we were created by Allah عز وجل, we were ordered to worship Him.
خط لنا طريقا نعبده به ونصل به إلى رحمته ورضاه.
So a path was laid out for us at this point to show us the way that he's pleased with and the way to worship him, the way that he wants.
واختبرنا الله عز وجل وابتلانا بخطوط أخرى غير الطريق المستقيم.
And Allah puts us to trial. He tests us by drawing or by having other paths alongside it that lead us away from the straight path.
وَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا.
And He sent a messenger to us.
وَأَنْزَلَ مَعَهُ كِتَابًا.
And He revealed the book along with Him.
وَرَزَقْنَا سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً.
And He provided us with hearing, sight, and understanding.
وَأَمَرَنَا بَعْدَ أَنْ بَيَّنَ لَنَا هَذَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ أَنْ نَتَّبِعَهُ وَنَسِيرُ عَلَيْهِ وَنَثْبُتُ عَلَيْهِ.
And He ordered us, after having explained to us what it is, that we have to follow the straight path.
وَحَذَّرَنَا مِنَ السُّبُلِ الطُّرُقِ الْأُخْرَى الْمُنْحَرِفَةِ عَنَ الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ.
And He warned us of finding those other paths that are deviated paths away from the صراط المستقيم, away from the straight path.
وفي الحديث الصحيح أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خط في الأرض خطا مستقيما.
And in the Sunnah, it is authentically reported the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم drew a straight line.
وخط عن جانبيه خطوط صغيرة.
And then alongside the straight line, he drew other little smaller lines leading away from it.
ثم تلا قول الله عز وجل وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما وهو يشير إلى الطريق المستقيم الخط الذي خطه وقال وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه.
And then Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed to him that certainly this is my straight path, indicating the path of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had drew to the people, and then the order came to follow that straight path.
ولا تتبعوا السبل فقال عن الخطوط التي الصغيرة بجانب الخط المستقيم هذه السبل.
And do not follow other paths. And the other paths here was clear to the people. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was showing them that these other shorter paths that they get away from the straight path, don't follow these paths.
وعلى كل سبيل شيطان يدعو إليه.
And every one of these side paths that divert away, each one of them has a shaytan at the head of it calling the people to it.
شيطان يدعو للشرك.
a shaitan that is calling to shirk, a shaitan that is calling to bid'ah, innovation, and a shaitan that is calling to fornication and adultery, and a shaitan that is calling to riba, and a shaitan that is calling you to have poor treatment, disobedience towards your parents, and a shaitan that is calling you to drink alcohol and intoxicants. So the past of deviance of many, they are stubble, they are paths.
وأما سبيل النجاة فسبيل واحد وأن هذا صراطي طريقي. نعم.
And as for the straight path, the path of salvation, then it is only one path. This is my way. This is my path.
وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوا قال الله عز وجل صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, after explaining that they were asking to be upon a straight path, then He explains more about this path, the path of those of whom you have bestowed your bounties, grace upon.
إذا سلكت هذا الصراط المستقيم من معك في هذا الصراط في هذا الطريق.
So if you traverse upon a straight path here, who is with you along this path?
معك الذين أنعم الله عليهم.
Those that are with you are those whom Allah has bestowed His grace upon.
وهم النبيون.
And they are the prophets.
والصديقون.
The truthful.
والشهداء والصالحون.
The martyrs and the righteous.
كما قال الله عز وجل ومن يطع الله والرسول.
As Allah عز وجل stated, whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger.
فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم.
Then they will be with those of whom Allah has bestowed His grace.
من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين.
From the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs and the righteous.
فالله يقول اهدنا يعلمنا أن ندعو بهذا الدعاء. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، اهدنا الطريق المستقيم الذي لا عدد فيه، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، صراط النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين.
So Allah عز وجل says اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. God is meaning educators, teachers. What is this straight path that has no crookedness in it? The path of those whom you have bestowed your grace. Those who Allah bestowed His grace upon, they are the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous.
غير المغضوب عليهم. يعني لا تهدينا طريق المغضوب عليهم وهم اليهود. الذين عرفوا الحق وخالفوا.
Not the path of those who have earned your anger. Meaning you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not guide you to the way of those who have earned His anger. And those who have earned Allah's anger are the Yahud, are the Jews. Because they have knowledge but they do not act in accordance with it.
ولا الضالين. أي ولا تهدينا طريق وصراط الضالين وهم النصارى الذين عبدوا الله على جهل وضلال.
And not the way of the dalin, the misguided. Meaning, do not guide us to the way of those who are misguided and astray. And those who are misguided and astray here, they are the Nasara, the Christians, since they worship Allah Azza wa Jal, but they do so upon ignorance and misguidance.
أما الذين هداهم الله عز وجل فهم الذين عرفوا الحق واتبعوه.
As for those who that are upon the straight path, they are those who know what the truth is and they follow it.
لكن الذين عرفوا الحق وخالفوه.
But as for the one who knows the truth yet he opposes it.
ولكن الذين لم يعرفوا الحق فضلوا السبيل.
And the one who doesn't know the truth, the one who doesn't know the truth and he just follows somewhere.
فهذه سورة الفاتحة هي أعظم سورة القرآن، أعظم ما أنزل الله على عباده سورة الفاتحة.
And this is Surah Al-Fatiha, the greatest of those, some of the greatest of chapters that He has revealed upon His servants.
وكل معاني القرآن يرجع إلى سورة الفاتحة. لذلك سميت أم الكتاب، أم القرآن.
And all the meanings that are inside of the Quran, all of them in entirety return back to Surah Al-Fatiha. So for this reason, it is called the Umm al-Quran. It is the mother of the Quran.
ففيها توحيد الربوبية. أي أن الله هو الرب. الخالق المالك المدبر.
So you find in this tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed of Allah's lordship. So Allah, He is the creator, the king, the disposer of all these things.
وهذا في قوله رب العالمين.
And this is in the statement رب العالمين, the Lord of all existence.
وفي قوله مالك يوم الدين.
And in the statement مالك يوم الدين, the king of the day of resurrection.
فهو رب العالمين رب كل شيء.
So He is the Rabb, the Lord of all in existence in entirety, the Lord of the Alameen.
وفيها الألوهية أي أن العبادة الحق يجب أن تكون لله وحده.
And in it you find ألوهية, worship in divinity, meaning that all of worship, Allah is the one that deserves worship alone by Himself.
وذلك في قوله لله.
And that is in the statement لله, belongs to Allah.
أي الله عز وهو المعبود بحق.
Meaning Allah عز وجل, He is the one that is worshipped in truth.
وبقوله إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
And in the statement, you alone do worship and you alone do seek aid.
وفيها أي سورة الفاتحة توحيد الأسماء والصفات. أي أن الله له كل الكمال وكل الجمال وذلك في قوله الحمد لله.
In Surah Al-Fatiha, you also find the Tawheed of Al-Asma wa Sifat, the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, meaning that all attributes of perfection and sublimity, all of them belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is in the statement, Alhamd, that all praise, all attributes of perfection and sublimity belong to Allah.
وفيها وجوب اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقوله اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم وهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And in this we find the obligation of following the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is in a statement, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path, the path of those of whom you have bestowed your grace upon.
وفيها البراءة من اليهود والنصارى ومن كان على شاكلتهما المغضوب عليهم والضالين.
And in it is a disavowal, a separation from the Jews and the Christians and anyone else who has their characteristics of them.
ولو قرأنا القرآن كله لوجدناه كله يرجع إلى هذه المعاني.
And if we were to read the entire Quran, we will find that all the meanings of the Quran return back to what is found in meaning in Surah Al-Fatiha.
القرآن كله إما لبيان أن الله هو الرب خالق الذي خلق السماء خلق الأرض خلق كذا وكذا. كثيرا ما يتكلم الله عن نفسه أنه خلق وأنه هو الرب.
نعم. So throughout the entire Quran, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying to us that He is the Rabb, He is the Lord, that He is the one that has created the earth, He is the one that has created this and that, and that He is the Lord of all things.
وكثير من آيات القرآن يتكلم الله فيها عن وجوب عبادته وحده ولا شريك له وترك عبادة ما سواه.
And throughout the entire Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that He is the one who deserves all right over worship by Himself, alone by Himself, and nothing else in the creation has any right over this worship.
وكثير من آيات القرآن الكلام عن مال الله عز وجل من الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى.
And many of the verses in the Quran are explaining to us what Allah possesses of beautiful names and lofty attributes.
وكثير من آيات القرآن فيها الأمر بعبادته وماذا أعد الله لمن عبده ووحده من خلق الجنة والنعيم.
And many verses in the Quran are explaining to us that we should follow the straight path here and what Allah has prepared for those that follow the correct way.
وكثير من آيات القرآن فيها النهي عن الشرك وماذا فعل الله بأعدائه المشركين وماذا أعد لهم من العذاب يوم القيامة.
And throughout much of the Quran is a warning from shirk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us what has occurred to the people that fell into shirk, what came upon them of destruction and punishment.
وكثير من آيات القرآن الحديث عن من أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء وماذا أعد لهم وماذا وكيف نصرهم وكيف نجاهم وكيف أقدرهم على عدوهم.
And many of the verses of the Quran are explaining to us the way of those whom He has bestowed His grace, how Allah fortified them, how Allah protected them, how Allah aided them, and all the types, the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous.
وكثير من آيات القرآن الكلام عن اليهود والنصارى وكيف عرفوا الحق وتركوه وكيف عبدوا الله على ضلالة وفضلوا.
And many of the verses of the Quran are explaining to us about the Jews and the Christians, how they had knowledge of the truth and didn't act upon it, and or how they did worship but they did so upon ignorance and misguidance.
وكثير من آيات القرآن فيها الأمر بالعبادات والأحكام التي هي من عبادة الله عز وجل.
And many of the verses of the Quran, they are explaining to us types of worship and religious verdicts, all of that that returns back to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal.
وكثير من القرآن قصص ما فعل الله عز وجل بأوليائه وما فعل الله عز وجل بأعدائه.
And many of the much of the Quran is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala explaining to us those stories of how He has benefited his awliya, those who are like saints or very righteous, and also what has occurred with His enemies.
فالقرآن كله من أوله إلى آخره يرجع إلى معاني الفاتحة.
So the Quran, all of it in entirety from its beginning to its end, all of it returns back to Surah Al-Fatiha.
فالفاتحة صارت مقدمة للقرآن, كأنه يقول الله عز وجل كل ما سأذكره في القرآن إنما هذا هو الموجز الملخص هو الفاتحة.
So Allah Azza wa Jalla here with Surah Al-Fatiha, it is as if this is an introduction to the rest of the Quran. And it is as if Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that this is the introduction to the Quran, that throughout the rest of the Quran, I'm going to be explaining this to you. This is a summarized version of what I have to explain to you.
هذا وأسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفعني وإياكم بما سمعنا والحمد لله أول وآخرة وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Now, so he made dua asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us of that which he heard, and then he closed out.